Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Wednesday edition of the Three Martini Lunch. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. We're back to good, bad, and crazy martinis for conservatives today, as usual, although two of them still deal with what's happening in Baltimore, Maryland. The good martini, Jim, and it's a relative one, but compared to Monday, it is a very good martini. The curfew, for the most part, seemed to work. Most people were off the streets by 10 o'clock. Those who stuck around started a little bit of mischief with the police, throwing bottles and some firecrackers, and there were a few arrests. But overall, people pretty much obeyed the curfew, especially once police started ordering people off the streets. A long way to go, a lot of cleanup to do, a lot of restoring order still to come in Baltimore, but compared to Monday, a massive step forward.
Yeah. Now, admittedly, some people might say better than Monday night is a really low bar for a good martini.
Yes.
On the other hand, you very rarely go for like flicking a light switch from the chaos and the violence and the burning and the looting and the huge number of arrests we saw on Monday to absolute peace the next night. And I think considering how, I was watching a little bit of the coverage last night. As the curfew hour approached, there were a lot of people on the streets. The police were lined up, and there was a real question of, were we setting up for another conflict here? And it looks like, no, we weren't, thankfully. I mean, like there, as you said, there were a couple of, isolated incidents, but the people who are the citizens on the streets knew that they have that curfew there for a reason. It seems like no one was in the mood to repeat the events of the previous night, or perhaps every place that was worth looting had already been looted. It may be that the anger had exhausted itself. There's obviously a long way to go in Baltimore, but last night at least was a step in the right direction.
It certainly was. In fact, I think the biggest agitator last night, I don't know if you were watching Fox shortly after the curfew, Geraldo. There was a protester who got in between Geraldo and the camera. That's not a safe place to be. And Geraldo was live on the air basically berating this man and dragging the state Senate majority leader off to another spot to conduct an interview. But imagine Geraldo making the story a little bit about himself. I know it's hard to do. But
unthinkable. Did he draw a map in the sand?
No. Here's where the police aren't.
Yeah. I'm here down this street with no police presence. Man, if you wanted to break into these stores, these guys are vulnerable. Well, thankfully, the thugs aren't watching Fox News anyway.
So. Yes, that's probably correct. All right, on to the bad martini now. And one of the nice things about Monday night, and there weren't many, was that the president kept his mouth shut. But on Tuesday, he was asked about it at the joint press conference with the Prime Minister of Japan, Prime Minister Abe, and he was obviously asked about the events in Baltimore. The president gave a 14-minute answer that went in a lot of different directions. The president, to his credit, and I think a lot of people say, these weren't protesters. These were criminals. They weren't working out some sort of message to honor Freddie Gray or find justice. They were stealing. They were arsonists. They were criminals, and they ought to be prosecuted. And it's obviously what you want to hear from your president at that time. Then he started talking about how there are some bad eggs in the police departments in various parts of the country. And then he just decided to put everyone on the spot with this comment.
We can't just leave this to the police. I think there are police departments that have to do some soul searching. I think there's some communities that have to do some soul searching. But I think we as a country have to do some soul searching. This is not new. It's been going on for decades.
Jim, this was the focal point of your morning jolt today. I think most Americans would probably agree you should obey the law and everyone should be treated the same under the rights of the Constitution.
Yeah, I want to give the president credit for saying some things that seem self-evident and obvious, but there are some commentators and some folks on cable news who don't say this, saying that he says, look, this is not a protest. This is violence and destruction. This is people taking advantage of a situation. Mr. President, good on you for saying that. But there are a couple parts that really did, leave me grinding my teeth. High among them, he once again decided it's time for him to be president, network news director, and to tell the news networks how to do their jobs. One burning building will be looped on television over and over and over again, and the thousands of demonstrators who did it the right way, I think, have been lost in the discussion. Interestingly, there was an article in today's Washington Post making the same accusation of CNN. Well, look, You know, 15 buildings burned in Baltimore Monday night, 144 vehicles. This was not a small isolated incident in one part of the city. When you're covering a live event, are they going to make mistakes? Are there parts of the coverage that aren't going to go as smoothly as you'd like? Sure, but I don't think the complaint you can make about CNN or any of the news networks is that they overhyped what was going on in Baltimore. It was a big deal. And so the idea that, you know, that the president, this and another comment he made, kind of were in this, you know, well, we just have a few bad apples kind of tone. And I don't think that's the case. Greg, you remember the videos of the folks running into that CVS? It wasn't just a few people. We're talking dozens and dozens and maybe hundreds. I you know, we don't know how long the process of people running into that store and carrying stuff out went on. And I looked yesterday, I couldn't get really good numbers of how many people were identified as being part of the rioters. There were 235 people who were arrested on Monday night. So that was kind of irksome. But I think the thing that really stuck in my craw, and I just I get sick of it every time something terrible happens and some politician uses this utterly meaningless cliche. Greg, we all have some soul searching to do. If I had control of your knobs and dials there, I would insert the audio of the guy from Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade saying, "My soul's prepared, how's yours?" Greg, when was the last time you went to Baltimore?
Probably about a year ago.
Okay. And like, you know, like you, I've been there about once in the last 2 years. What the hell did we do? How is this our fault? How is, oh, you know, every American has to look in their hearts and see what they did to make that fire hole get punctured. No, you know what got the fire hole punctured is the guy who did it. We didn't set any senior centers on fire. We didn't loot CVSs. We didn't set police cruisers on fire. You know who did it? The people who were there. All right. And if you want to say, well, all this came because of the what happened to Freddie Gray, the black man who died after being in police custody. Okay, you're right. But you know what? We're not Baltimore cops. And the police actions are being investigated. Now, if you don't like the way the police is investigating that process, all right, then we can have that discussion. This whole idea of, well, we all have to do some souls. No, no. The more you're talking about the root causes, the more you say, well, everybody has a little part to play in this. No. That's basically saying, don't look at who did what. Don't look at the specifics. Let's just kind of take, I call this, you know, the socialism of blame. Let's just spread it far and wide and equally to everybody. And that's a way to let a lot of people off the hook. And I think to try to put blame on people who have nothing to do with this. It's kind of a form of collective punishment. One of the kind of fundamental tenets of the right being individual responsibility. There's this mentality of not holding people accountable for their actions and trying to find scapegoats. And I think that in this way, the president, when he uses this cliche, is kind of suggesting the whole country is at fault for what happened in Baltimore, when in fact, it's actually the perpetrators, whether you think it's, you know, the police acting incorrectly and brutally, or whether you think it's the riots doing inexcusable things.
Jim, you used the words socialism and collective in that response, so that's a perfect setting for our crazy martini. Hillary Clinton's got some company in the Democratic field, and I'm sure she is very, very nervous. Sometime, I think either today or tomorrow, Vermont Independent Senator Bernie Sanders, who describes himself as a Democratic socialist, is going to throw his hat in the ring for the Democratic presidential nomination. If you don't watch MSNBC or C-SPAN 2, you probably don't spend a lot of time with Bernie Sanders. He's kind of a ringer for Doc Brown from the Back to the Future movies and is constantly making sure that he's pushing for protectionism, and he's usually a good supporter of the unions and so forth. So I'm not sure Hillary Clinton's too worried, but it's interesting that the biggest concern for Democrats is that Hillary Clinton might not be liberal enough.
Because you said that, the only thing I have in my head is, Marty, we've got to send you back to the future. I was going to observe that, you know, Bernie Sanders is the Vermont senator who doesn't always show up in the Batman movies. There's two fascinating things about it. One is he's kind of this goofy, crazy grandpa figure representing pure, undiluted socialist, you know, far leftism. But the other really intriguing thing is we've seen all the problems with Hillary over the last couple of weeks. We've discussed why if you're a true blue liberal progressive, Hillary Clinton may not really be what sets your heart on fire. You know, that basically she's very close to Wall Street, that she is not someone who – she's someone who's very comfortable with America's wealthy. She voted for the Iraq War. I mean, we can go down the list. And so if you're, you know, a Howard Dean type, take another Vermont political figure, you want to see a kind of a purer progressivism, you'd think there'd be more people out there. You know, somebody who wants to go out and play the Obama to Hillary Clinton this cycle – since we already know she can blow a presidential primary against the right opponent, like Barack Obama. Well, here we are, and really, Bernie Sanders? Really? That's the guy? You kind of figured there'd be somebody else kind of competing for this. Look, what happens if you don't have it? Maybe there's this possible somebody else is going to jump in and throw their hat into the ring. At this point right now, all we have is, you know, Jim Webb, who's easy to forget about, Martin O'Malley, who's, you know, going to run on his terrific record of everything he did in Baltimore. Oh, well. And who's the other dwarf? They're building up to the Seven Dwarfs level for this, to take the 1988 comparison.
Right.
Ed Sanders, right? I mean, it's really kind of these no-names and also-rans and never-were's. And you figure somebody somewhere would have wanted to jump in and give it a shot. So far, no effort, and this may be it. And so if you're a progressive, this is what you got. This is Bernie Sanders. Enjoy it.
Congratulations. I think the other dwarf you were thinking of was Lincoln Chafee.
Ah, there we go. Yeah, I mean, like, look at this way. Perspective, somebody who follows politics for a living had trouble remembering Lincoln. Yeah, had trouble remembering Chafee. Or as most people who follow politics, oh, John's son.
Very good, Jim. Let's hope for even better news from Baltimore in the days to come, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks for being with us today, and be sure to join us again on Thursday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.